We are so lucky to have a tremendous team of professionals working in our Department of Natural Resources. They really do a lot to keep tabs on our state's natural areas and our wildlife and to protect and manage them. But what you may not know is that they also rely on people like you and me to help out. And we do a lot of monitoring projects, a lot of citizen monitoring projects. Larry Mueller here, great to have you along on the Ideas Network, and also great to have Owen Boyle and Chris Stepanuk with us today. Owen's the coordinator of citizen-based monitoring for the DNR. And Owen, great to have you with us again.
Thanks, Larry. Great to be back.
And Chris Stepanuk, great to have you back. She's the Water Action Volunteer Coordinator for UW Extension and the Wisconsin DNR. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
I've been looking forward to having you guys on to talk about this. And citizen-based monitoring, it's a really cool idea. Owen, maybe you can talk about what the heck it is.
Sure. Well, citizen-based monitoring, in sort of the largest terms, is citizens and scientists working together, as you said, Larry, to monitor the health of Wisconsin's natural resources. And we work with folks on anything from plants to animals to weather, water, and soils, anything from brown bears to freshwater sponges, you name it. And we've got projects where we're getting folks trained and out in the field collecting information that help us, you know, monitor those populations and manage them.
Really cool. And Chris, maybe you can talk about the citizen-based monitoring network. Can you talk about that network?
Yeah, so it's a collaboration of all these programs that Owen was just talking about.
Yeah.
And by knowing one another and having Owen as our sort of go-to guy, we can learn and share resources so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel when somebody's doing something that somebody else has already done. We also have support from DNR, funding support, and logistical support, so that helps us be able to grow our programs.
And there's even a water monitoring.
There is a water monitoring network. So that's a subset of the overall citizen-based monitoring network. And basically, we have a website. It's watermonitoring.uwex.edu. And it lists all the different water monitoring opportunities available for citizens, sort of a one-stop shop. And they range everything from bacteria monitoring in the Great Lakes to birds, avian botulism, to lakes, streams, ephemeral ponds, and beyond.
Really cool. Owen Boyle and Chris Stepanuk, our guests today. I haven't given the numbers. I want to let you get involved here. We're talking with them about citizen monitoring, how you and I can get involved in monitoring wildlife and water here in the state. You can join in with your own questions or comments. And also, if you've participated, I would love to hear experiences from people who have actually done some of this monitoring. So, you know, if you've done that, what'd you do? What'd you think of it? We'd certainly love to hear that, as well as any questions that you might have. Maybe you want to know what might be going on in your particular area of the state. We can probably help out with that, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. And certainly we would love to hear from you. And Owen, how does this happens all over the state, as Chris was saying. How do you support this monitoring effort? Well, I know there's some financial part of it, but
correct. Yeah, the DNR supports citizen-based monitoring in a number of ways, and one is as Chris mentioned, me. So we've got a coordinator position, which essentially coordinates and as Chris said, you know, gets people networked and talking to each other, and so there's not new wheel invention going on
across every
the state
year.
Because as you said. It does happen in every single county of the state. And so in addition to that coordination, we also provide a little bit of financial assistance. We've got what we call our Citizen-Based Monitoring Partnership Program. It provides a few thousand dollars for projects that for new projects, basically, that are out there monitoring, again, some of our natural resources. And actually, right now, there is a request for proposals out for the next year of partnership program funding. And maybe I can give the website for that.
For sure.
The Citizen-Based Monitoring Network website is WIATRI.net/CBM. And so from there, you can get to just about everything that we'll be talking about today, whether it's the individual projects, this partnership program, or some of the other topics that are involved with citizen-based monitoring.
I think Judith posted that up on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. So that's, if you didn't get it, just go to our Facebook page and certainly can get it from there. What about some examples? I'd love to hear how the CBM citizen-based monitoring helps extend your resources, for example.
Well, it definitely does that. Citizen-based monitoring is very, very cost-effective. We've calculated for DNR that every dollar that we invest in citizen-based monitoring, we get over $3 back in terms of volunteer time and actual data collected. So it's very cost-effective.
What is it again? $1 for every dollar you spend, you get
three. More than three, actually.
More than
so
three.
Pretty good
okay.
investment. And in addition to that, you know, we've got, of course, a limited number of professional biologists and scientists in the state. And there's only so much we can do with the professionals. So really what citizen-based monitoring allows us to do is really extend sort of the geographic area that we can cover and also the temporal, the time scale that we can monitor. And, you know, it's interesting. Some of the major, like last year in 2012 where we had that drought, we saw some really, really interesting impacts compared with long-term monitoring data sets, whether it was frogs calling earlier or birds returning sooner. And we can really only do that kind of large-scale, long-term monitoring with lots and lots of people. And that's where the volunteers come in, and that's where citizen-based monitoring comes in.
Wow.
And I'll add to that, too, that we've done some research with the stream monitoring program that it doesn't take... We're basically... The people who are participating are amazing, and they are outreaching in their communities. So they're learning things through the citizen monitoring that they're participating in, and then they're the people who are sharing it in their communities and bringing it to the local public meetings and the school groups and whatnot. So they're actually helping build more education and more knowledge in their communities after not a very long time being participants in the citizen monitoring programs.
Very cool. Very cool. I would guess that the people who get involved in this are, they're maybe not scientists at all, or have may not have any science background, might be a social scientist like me.
Yeah, we have folks who say to us, you know, I'm doing the stream monitoring, but you realize I'm a retired accountant. I've never had a science class before, but that's okay. We offer training. All the programs that are out there have training for the people who want to participate, and really it's lifelong learning, and people pick it up, and it becomes full-time jobs or beyond for some of the folks who are doing it.
Well, and, you know, there's all kinds of ways to volunteer, too, not just going out and collecting data. You know, you mentioned accountants, Chris. Well, you know, some of our volunteers who were former accountants really get into data entry, you know, and so
we
need that kind of help as well.
Bruce in Denmark is on board here, so let's go to Bruce. Hi, Bruce. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Owen. I am a volunteer with the program, working in the lower Fox River and lower upper Fox River rather and lower Green Bay area. I found it really, you know, nice to be able to, you know, to reach out with a very, very diverse group, and I've really enjoyed that, and I find it pretty relaxing to go out there. You know, make me do it every couple of weeks to go out and actually walk along the bayshore a little bit, even though in the summer I live in a different part of the bayshore. One suggestion I do have would be to expand those programs to work further up Green Bay shoreline. So that's my comment, and take care.
Thanks a lot for calling, and Bruce and Owen, sounds like you may know Bruce, or at least know of him.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Bruce. He's actually my wife's uncle, so
yeah.
He's been very involved in citizen-based monitoring and is doing a great job up there on the shores of Green Bay, and I completely agree, Bruce. We do need to expand that program, so If you can get out there and drum up some more volunteers, we will get them out there.
So what, just for fun, let's follow up on that. What goes on along the Green Bay shoreline? What are they monitoring?
Well, I'm not sure what Bruce is doing, but I know that there's an aesthetics monitoring program. It's in connection with the area of concern. So Green Bay is one of the areas of concerns for the Great Lake. And one of the concerns that was brought up is that it's not aesthetically pleasing to people who would be recreating along the shoreline. So there's a fairly new, one-year-old aesthetics monitoring program that's going on in the Green Bay area where people can basically complete a survey. They'll go to a number of different chosen sites and they fill out a survey and give their opinion of what it's like aesthetically and also do a little bit of water monitoring.
Very cool.
That's right. That's the same program that Bruce is talking about. You know, there's another newer program too. It's set up, I think, by the U.S. Geological Society. It's called Great Lakes Amble. And basically what you do there is walk the shores of the Great Lakes looking for botulism outbreaks. So, unfortunately, dead ducks. And Amble stands for Avian Monitoring for Botulism Lakeshore Events.
Wow.
So that's one that's a fairly new program and going on kind of regionally. Really good project.
So those folks who are volunteers, would they pick the birds up?
They're just recording locations looking for outbreaks of botulism, which, you know, again, that's a good example of where citizens collecting data, which then USGS and EPA would then react in terms of management.
Yeah.
There's another project that's going on in that area as well as up in Door County. The Ridges Sanctuary volunteers have been participating with DNR biologist Matt Dybel, and they are looking at road crossings and culverts and if fish can get through those culverts and basically taking an inventory of all the road crossings. So there's plenty of those in the state, thousands and thousands, and if volunteers are interested, there's a fairly simple, about a 20-minute survey that they can do at road crossings to assess if fish can pass or not, if there should be some sort of something done to change the culvert.
Wow. So, and that could be, you could get a million people going here. I think you could. Barbara in Grand Marsh, your turn. Hi.
Hi. Oddly enough, I live on Eagle Court in Grand Marsh, and we have resident eagle that is on our Patrick's Lake, and very excited this year. There is a youth in the trees, which means that they have been successful here. And yesterday I sat for about an hour on my little road because there's a roadkill out there, and the eagle sat on it. And, of course, every time I moved to take a picture, he flew away. But it's very, very exciting to us, which means that everything is healthy here. And they have the whole lake to themselves, and we have a large fish population. So it's very, very exciting to us.
Wow, Barbara.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. And, you know, really, bald eagles are just an amazing conservation success story. Their population has rebounded just spectacularly, and they're nesting almost throughout the entire state now. Their populations have grown down into southern Wisconsin. And there are a number of eagle monitoring projects going on throughout the state. I know there's a new one in the Fox River Valley. There may be a local project in her area. Now, the DNR also does statewide monitoring. So, Barbara, if you're interested in providing data to the DNR, maybe you could contact your local DNR.
I will do so.
Great.
Okay.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Remember, I live on Eagle Court.
There you go. Love it, Barb.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. Thanks a lot for calling. Lives on Eagle Court, watches an eagle. Elizabeth? In Wauwatosa, we'll get to you in just a second. I want to remind everybody, talking today about citizen monitoring and wildlife and water here in Wisconsin with our two guests, Owen Boyle, coordinates citizen-based monitoring for the DNR, and Chris Stepanuk, who is Water Action Volunteer Coordinator for Extension and the Wisconsin DNR. Great to have them along. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking citizen monitoring of our wildlife and water here in the state with Owen Boyle of the DNR, Chris Stepanuk, also with the DNR, and with UW Extension. They got a joint role there, kind of a joint position. Great to have them both along. And great to have you listening in. Give us a call with your questions or comments, or maybe you've been involved in this citizen monitoring, or maybe you want to get involved and have a question about that. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Post a question, comment, even a photo right there. Elizabeth in Wauwatosa, thank you for calling.
Yes, I'm a citizen scientist for wolf tracking. And my question is, how is the freshwater going to be analyzed and tracked where the new mine is going to be dug out, where that whole land is going to be dug up?
That question
is a great question. So right now, there are not the mines are coming in at such a fast rate, coming basically from nowhere. So there's not a lot of regulations that are in place or standards that are in place from which to judge against where they're at. So it's a whole new field, not only for volunteers, but for the professionals. So it's something that we're looking into. We definitely have a lot of questions coming from citizens like yourself, and we're trying to figure out what makes the most sense to monitor. In some cases, it could be total suspended solids is something where you would collect a water sample, send it off to the lab to be analyzed, and it could tell you the amount of suspended particles in the water. So that's one thing that could be looked at. There's also some stormwater regulations that need to be followed by the mines, that depending on where the mine is located and what happens where the runoff goes, if there's a stream nearby, then some things could be looked at and possibly regulated in terms of what they need to do with fences or berms or protecting those nearby waterways from what their activities are. But it's definitely a question that is being asked by the professionals right now as well.
Yeah,
there's quite a bit of interest.
Oh,
sorry.
Yeah.
No, well, thank you very much for that, Elizabeth. And, no, go ahead, Owen. You were going to add something here.
Well, I was just going to add that one of the priorities of our partnership program this year is groundwater monitoring. And so there's the potential for projects like that in mining areas up north. And I know the Bad River Watershed Association has expressed interest in doing some water monitoring up there.
Yeah, actually, we're trying to work on a program relating to water and the mining issue because there's been so many questions about it.
That'll be great.
We're trying to set get some folks on who can talk about that. John in Algoma, your turn. Hi, John. Thank you for calling.
Well, thank you very much for giving me a chance to ask a question. And someone just commented on groundwater, and that's actually the issue that I'm concerned about. I live in Kewaunee County, which I suspect you know is at the base of the Door Peninsula and has shoreline on both Green Bay and Lake Michigan. And I'm very concerned about surface waters and groundwater issues. Over the last 7 years, the Lawcon office in our county has been supporting people in conducting tests of their private wells, and we've found that around 30% or a little bit higher of those wells are showing up with nitrate and coliform pollution as a result of, or contamination. We believe as a result of the factory farms that are dumping on the order of 25 million gallons of manure on the fields around us every year. And I was wondering whether there's a division of this citizen monitoring program that would support us in doing both surface water runoff monitoring into our streams, which lead to Lake Michigan and to Green Bay, as well as well monitoring in areas, particularly up on the Niagara Escarpment, where we have karst or broken limestone, and it seems as though the manure spreading is going directly into the water supply for, in this case, humans primarily.
Yeah. So there's a group called Kewaunee Cares, and they have been trained to monitor last summer. They're monitoring bacteria, and they are monitoring nutrients in streams nearby you. I'm not sure which exact streams, but they are active. There is a statewide program for volunteer stream monitoring that I coordinate, and you can contact me. I think the contact information will be up on the Facebook page, or we can get it to you. So we have a variety of different parameters that can be monitored. But again, the Kewaunee Cares group is probably doing what you are interested in and already in your area.
Yeah.
And again, this year, the citizen-based monitoring program is just starting to support or looking to support groundwater monitoring projects. So sounds like you've got a good one already planned out up there.
And I'm sure that they would like some help. So not only that are they active, but I'm sure that they would be interested in having more people participate.
Yeah.
So you're providing them with the technical support and training to be able to do that groundwater monitoring up here?
They're doing surface, yeah. Yep, so they're doing surface water monitoring, and we did train them to do that. And groundwater monitoring would be one where either a new project or Kevin Masaryk, who works for Extension out of the Stevens Point, UW-Stevens Point, he does work with citizens groups to do groundwater monitoring, particularly out of wells. So that could be a contact for doing the groundwater monitoring, or if there's some kind of a new idea looking towards the partnership program funding to propose something.
Right. We in DNR, we do have staff. And Larry, this is something I neglected to mention earlier when you asked, how DNR supports citizen-based monitoring. One of the most successful and popular things that we see is sort of facilitated access to DNR scientists. So, you know, a question like John's comes up and he can contact me and I can get him in touch with the specialists at DNR. We do have drinking groundwater specialists who could help him out with the technical side of setting up a monitoring program.
Yeah, we actually just had a show on that in the last week or so. On well monitoring. So, yeah. Thanks, John. I hope this helps. Appreciate your call. And we'll have, we have actually Owen's and Chris's contacts through their organizations, through the DNR and through Extension, I believe up on our Facebook page. If we don't right now, I'm sure it's there somewhere. I'm just not seeing it right at the moment. But Judith's got it up, I'm sure. Yeah, she's shaking her head. Yeah, I've got it up there. What do you mean? What do you think? she's always about four steps ahead of me. Jake and Madison, it's your turn. Hi, Jake.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My wife and I have been involved in the stream monitoring program now for over 3 years. We first got hooked by another volunteer who is really into the monitoring, Ted Will Ludwig up in Menominee, Wisconsin. And since our settling down here in Madison, we've now gotten involved with the road salt monitoring program. But I just wanted to call in and thank Owen and Chris for their leadership and continuing to offer the ways for us to contribute to monitoring in Wisconsin.
Oh, that's great. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, we love Aaron and Jake. You guys are the best, as well as all our road salt volunteers. I'll mention the project that Jake works on, and it's a study that we were working on in partnership with the U.S. Geological Survey, and it's in urban areas. We're in about half a dozen urban areas in the state looking at the effects of road salting on our streams. So volunteers are so dedicated. They are out there all winter, all summer, and in addition, when it looks like it's snowing and there are road salt trucks out there, we email or text message them and say, so could you get out in the stream? And it's been great. We've been finding a lot of sites that actually have some troubles with chloride levels, and it's looking like some of the waterways in our state might be listed as impaired for chloride based on the volunteers' work that they've been doing over the past three winters and summers. So it's been a fantastic program, and we really appreciate all the efforts of all these folks.
Well, and so those data are used. I mean, it's not that they just sit on a shelf somewhere.
That's correct. That's one of the goals. We have multiple goals in, across the citizen monitoring program. Sometimes it's educational. Sometimes it's let's get some data that we need for making a management decision. And in this particular project's case, that is our goal, is to find out, you know, what is the broad effect of road salting on streams? Is it having an impact? And if it is, then let's do something to be able to list a stream as impaired and then do something hopefully to be able to change that while still keeping ourselves safe while we drive and walk and whatnot.
Yeah. Jake, thank you much. Appreciate it very much. Ed and Loretta, we'll turn to you. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to let you know that I was listening to the program as I was completing a carnivore track survey this morning.
Ah.
And so that's what prompted me to call. And I've been working with the program now for 4 years, and Adrian and Jane out of the Park Falls office have been great to work with.
Excellent. Excellent. That's great, Ed. That's a spectacular program, and as you said, Adrian and Jane just do a fabulous job with that program, tracking carnivores across really the upper half, the northern half of Wisconsin.
Yes, and I guess the other thing that I'd like to see a program started on is to, as the lady just a few minutes ago pointed out, the possibility of a new iron ore mine coming in northern Wisconsin, and I think some information on both the Upper Chippewa and, of course, on the Bad River are desperately needed in order to be able to track the influence of that activity.
Yeah, very good points. And actually, thanks a lot, Ed, for calling. There was another question from someone who phoned in who wondered if you folks are going to be coordinating with the native tribes on this issue.
Well, that's a good question. So we had done a survey of tribal communities around the Great Lakes region, asking their participation that they've had in volunteer water monitoring specifically, and asking them what the major issues are that they're facing. And that's something that we've not done too much involvement trying to get more involved with the tribes. Having said that, I do know that there's a fabulous teacher or two who work with tribal groups up in the Menominee area and in the sort of just west of Green Bay, who are doing monitoring with their students at the tribal high schools. So we do have that connection with those great teachers.
Someone else wondered if your program is in danger of being defunded.
That's also a good question. So I think that all, like, speaking in general, a lot of the programs are grant funded, and I know that the staff are working hard all the time to find new ways of funding the programs through grants, but I'm not concerned.
No, I'm not concerned either. I mean, citizen-based monitoring is, it's a win-win for everybody. As I mentioned earlier, for DNR, you know, we couldn't get the extent of data that we do get without citizen-based monitoring. And, you know, as I think Chris mentioned earlier, it goes so much further than just collecting data. I mean, getting people actually involved with managing, because really monitoring is just part of the management process, managing their own natural resources. So there's a lot of support for citizen-based monitoring throughout the state.
And it's a field that has just been growing exponentially. Literally, as budgets are being cut for professionals, they're growing for the need to have citizens assist with getting the information that we need to make the management decisions or to educate the people so that they can become advocates in the future or now.
Or now. LD and Elkhorn, bring you up next. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hey, and how are you folks this afternoon?
Perfect. Great. Thank you.
I'm with the Sierra Club, and I just wondered if you'd made any contact or had anybody reported in from the Sierra Club about monitoring, because I know our group down here in southeast Wisconsin does monitor the rivers in Kenosha and Racine County.
Yep, we do have Sierra Club groups. The Water Sentinels is the name that I know a lot of the Sierra Club participants, and they're across the state. I know of folks up in the Eau Claire area, in La Crosse, in the just east of Madison, and in the southeast as well. So we definitely have some great participants from Sierra Club.
Excellent. I just checking in to make sure.
All right. Thanks, LD.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. And you can join in, too, by the way. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Talking with Owen Boyle and Chris Stepanuk. Owen and Chris both with DNR. Chris also has a partial position with UW Extension. And they work really heavily in this citizen-based monitoring program that takes place in every county, as a matter of fact. All 72 counties in the state have programs of one sort or another going. So a great opportunity. Maybe you've been involved. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Our email at talk@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Kay in Superior, hi, thank you for calling.
Thanks, Larry. I have worked on monitoring on the flag in the northwest, western Wisconsin.
Cool.
And I live about a block from a pipeline. It's a tar sands pipeline that goes through Wisconsin to Illinois, Indiana. It sends the tar sands through, and in order to get them through, they use benzene. And then they send the benzene back to Alberta. I'm wondering if citizens could be monitoring alongside that line to see. I know that they used to send airplanes through, and they may still along that pipeline, but they're going to increase the pressure of that line so they can put more product through. and the pipeline is old and it's under power lines. And I just like a comment from them, and I'll hang up and listen.
Thanks. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I guess my first reaction is that we want people to be safe when they're monitoring. And so the word benzene to me says maybe that's not something that we want to have citizens out there monitoring. And maybe we want to work more towards finding professionals who can do that just for people's safety. But if it's something that's you're trying to look in a stream for that's nearby the pipeline for something, say an effect on the macroinvertebrates or something like that, rather than monitoring the benzene itself, you could see, okay, is there some sort of a toxic effect on the organisms that live there? But again, safety of the people who are participating is of utmost concern. So that one just puts a little bit of a flag up just because of the benzene.
Yeah. All right. Colpin in Platteville. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
So I had a question, first-time caller. I'm a student at the University of Platteville. I'm going for agriculture.
Cool.
And I was interested in helping out a lot, especially in the Grant County area, and I was wondering if there's any opportunities for that.
Okay. What about what's going on in Grant County?
So there's going to be a training right in your town, probably on May 4th. It's a stream monitoring training, and it will be all day that day to teach folks how to do the methods for monitoring stream quality. That's one option, and I'm sure...
Saturday, right?
That's a Saturday. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, if you're looking for wildlife opportunities, Colpin, is that... Or were you looking more for water?
More for water, because I know there's just always been that heated debate between, you know, the environmentalists and the farmers, you know, where does it stop, where does it end, and I kind of want to shed a light from an agricultural, you know, point of view.
Sure.
Yeah, that would be great to have your participation.
Yeah, so please sign up on... You sign up ahead of time, I suppose.
Yeah, so what we do is we just have an events page that lists the upcoming trainings for the stream monitoring, and on that list there's an email or phone number to contact the person who's the local host and just let them know that you're planning to attend, and they'll let you know where and when to be there and what to bring along. Essentially, the stream monitoring trainings are about 5 to 6 hours, and people usually bring a lunch, and we supply all the equipment that you need and give you the hands-on training and send you off with what you need to do the monitoring.
Oh, great.
Awesome. Sounds like a great opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Great. Hopefully he's not the only volunteer that we're getting as a result of this show. Chris in Cooksville. Hello.
Good morning.
Morning.
Well, thank you for your concerns over our water.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Just to give a little background of me, I'm an environmentally sound person. At least I try very hard to be. I have a 12-and-a-half-year-old son and a 15-year-old daughter, and I can see, because we have a well and we live in a rural setting, that the level of pollutants that come with hair maintenance and hair conditioning and cleansing shampoos and so on is just horrific on the environment, I believe. Last night I had a little teaching of how to wash dishes using less water and less soap, just knowing ultimately gets out into the marsh or the river near us. Mm-hmm. I wondered if there is, if you folks know of or could offer a suggestion as to who might go to schools and teach kids how to and how not to mess things up as early as these ages, 12, 15, just seems very ripe for this sort of thing in a school setting.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. You know, the system-based monitoring program itself doesn't do a lot of, in classroom training. The DNR does have a number of educators, and, you know, you could try getting in touch with one of them, see if they'll come out to the school.
We also have a new curriculum for the stream monitoring program that's designed for middle and high school students, and we'll be having a number of teacher trainings around the state this summer and this spring. And that's something that part of it is why care? Why should the kids care about water? And that's a piece of the curriculum to get things started. And that would be something that the teachers could facilitate in the classroom with the students themselves.
And I should add that, as usual, Chris is out ahead with water monitoring and getting that into classroom curricula. We are, in the coming years, trying to get more, wildlife and other types of monitoring going in the classroom as well.
Excellent. Thanks, Chris, for calling. Appreciate it. I want to mention, before we run out of time, that there's a a conference coming up. What's the conference going to be all about?
Yes, the Wisconsin Citizen-Based Monitoring Conference, the first time we've had one in about 5 years. So this will be a get-together in Wisconsin Rapids, April 5th and 6th. That's coming up quickly. That's a Friday and a Saturday. And essentially what it is a gathering of project coordinators and the scientists and specialists and volunteers who get together and talk citizen-based monitoring and share experiences and through, you know, public presentations and poster sessions. And honestly, it's I'm really excited about it. It's,
me too.
I'm looking forward to it. And again, as I mentioned earlier, on our website, which is up, Judith has up on the Facebook page, you can find out about the conference, about the partnership program, and also just in general, if you're interested in finding a citizen-based monitoring program in your neck of the woods or for a specific critter or subject, if you go on the Citizen-Based Monitoring of Wisconsin website, we've got a who's who directory of projects and programs throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I highly recommend checking out our webpage and getting involved.
And just one last thing, I know there's a lot of people have asked about, is there school programs? I mean, do we have school-based citizen monitoring programs at all?
So, again, we have the new curriculum with the stream monitoring, but a lot of teachers are just actively involved themselves,
so
they will implement something in the classroom with their students. There's been a number, like, I can think of one group where the teacher is facilitating a bear den monitoring project, and it just depends on the teacher and what they are interested in themselves and what they're kind of implementing in their own classrooms. But there's definitely schools who are involved. Thousands of students get out there to do all kinds of environmental monitoring with their classes each year.
Well, I tell you what, it's really great to learn more about the citizen-based monitoring programs. I really thank you both very much for being with us. Hopefully we get a whole bunch of new volunteers from this.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks. Thank you both very much. A couple of people who are really excited about what they're doing, too. That's something, and I really enjoy having guests who are very committed and happy to be here, but really happy to have the jobs that they do to be able to work with people. And obviously the citizen monitoring of our wildlife in Wisconsin, very important to you and to me and everybody else who lives here in the state. Owen Boyle is coordinator of citizen-based monitoring for the DNR. Chris Stepanuk is water action volunteer coordinator for Extension, UW Extension, and the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Great to have them along. And we're going to move on to a similar topic, by the way. The Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin organizes some great field trips, and I can vouch for that. They have some great fun on these field trips. They do them all over the state. Anyone can take advantage of it. You can take advantage of it just as well as I did, and Judith Sears-Poisson has done on more than one occasion. We'll hear what they have planned for the upcoming field trip season and how you can sign up. So please stay with us.